Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, to take this time to thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. To God be the glory.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory. Be overcome.
to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
So the word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. You might be in despair, but the word says, anything you ask in Jesus' name will be given unto you. Thank you.
Bye.
Amen. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and grace, which woke us up this morning and keep us safe through the night. For bringing us to a brand new day, we bless your holy name. We remain forever grateful for our homes, work, and families, and pray that you will send angels to protect us. May you mend every broken heart, touch all who need healing, comfort all who moan, and bless those with financial needs. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective permanent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Praise be to God. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Amen. At this time, I will play another selection. Amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Father. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of God, you are the Spirit of the living God. In you, I put my hope and trust. Because of you, I'm able to experience the fullness of God in my life. Freedom comes as you reign in my life. You guide and direct me in my thoughts. You pray for me with words I don't even know. I need to pray. You are the Spirit of God, his helper, his mighty breath. I lift you up and honor you. May your fullness be known to this world, which needs you so desperately. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, at this time, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come back with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. From this place where I'm at, yeah. I need an answer. And you know all the facts. I'm done all I can. Tired of making mistakes over and over and over again. So I'm calling on you. And you always know what to do. So I'm praying to when I get up, I'll stand in victory. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Take away the hurt. When I can't seem to make it work, I've done all that I can. Learn all your words, I'm ready to stand. So I'm hearing your voice. And silence and a melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. And the title of this message is Assembled to All. Excuse me, Accessible to All. Amen. Praise God. My scripture reading for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. And these two scriptures is Jesus teaches about the way to heaven. Amen? And he says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gate to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Amen? Praise be to God. So 13 and 14 is saying that the gate that leads to eternal life in John 10, 7 through 9 is called narrow. This does not mean that it is difficult to become a Christian, but that there is only one way to eternal life with God, and that only a few decided to walk that road. Believing in Jesus is the only way to heaven because he alone died for our sins and made us right before God. Living this way may not be popular, but it is true and right. Thank God there is one way. Hallelujah, Jesus. The text for this message is coming from Matthew 7 and 14, where it says, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Amen. The writer says, from a man-made bridge on the small Caribbean island of Eleuthera, E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-A, visitors can admire the stark contrast between the rolling dark blue waters of the Atlantic and the calm turquoise waters of the Caribbean Sea. Over time, storms washed away the original strip of land once marked by a natural stone arch. The glass window bridge that now serves as a tourist attraction on Eleuthera is known as the narrowest place on earth. The Bible describes the road that leads to eternal life as narrow, and only a few find it in Matthew 7 and 14. The gate is considered small because God the Son is the only bridge that can reconcile fallen man and God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit in verses 13 through 14. And also in John 10, 7 through 9, and John 16 and 13. However, scripture also says that believers from every people, nation, and societal rank can enter heaven and will bow before the King of Kings and worship together around his throne. In Revelations 5 and 9. This phenomenal image of contrast and unity includes all of God's beautifully diverse people. Though we are separated from God by our sin, every person God created is invited to enter eternity in heaven by walking this narrow path of reconciliation through a personal relationship with Christ. His sacrifice on the cross, resurrection from the tomb, and ascension to heaven is the good news, accessible to all and worth sharing today and every day. Amen. Praise be to God. Question, how did you respond after hearing the good news? And how can you be more intentional about sharing it with others? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. God the Father, please empower us through your Holy Spirit so we can show others the accessible path that leads to your approachable Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. And at 7 p.m., our very own Sister Barbara Amore will come with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like, Charles C. Ryrie, yes. So if you would like to join us, you can call in at 7 p.m. at 319-527-6204. And this is our sweet hour of prayer on Pray One for Another every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection.
I will lift up mine eyes from whence cometh my help. Help cometh from the Lord, Lord which made heaven and earth. He said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved, nor that he would be. He will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord he is thy shade upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. And the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore, evermore. My sister, see.
This is what I'm gonna do.
Spirit of God, please forgive us for this, for the sins we harbor in our heart. Forgive us for envy. Forgive us when we look at other people's lives that appear to be so picture perfect that we begin to become ungrateful for all you have done for us. Forgive us when we are jealous, comparing your path for us with the favor and grace you have given to others on their path that only causes distance between us and you. And we need to be closer to you. We confess these sins to you and ask you to keep us from them in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Now, letting go of all my
10:10, and where it says, when they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God, Raku Elohim, came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. Praise God. Spirit of God, thank you for your kindness and faithfulness. Thank you for living in me. Thank you for imparting the wisdom of your word to my heart Thank you for all of this and even more. Thank you for being with me even when I feel so alone. I may even wonder who cares, but I know you are there, Spirit of God, and you are near. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and we're almost coming to the closing of our prayer session for this evening. In the meantime, while we're waiting on our speaker, I will play another selection, which entitled The Spirit of Victory by the Wicked Tones. Praise God. Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I'm going to turn this part of our program over to our very own Barbara Amore, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
Amen. Anyone else on the line?
Our First Lady is with us this evening.
Amen. Good evening. How are you doing, First Lady?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Good evening.
That song sounded so nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to open with prayer. Your background, Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again, a few of your humble servants come together to give you glory, praise, and honor. Father God, we're so glad that we are able to assemble like this, to just talk about you, talk about your goodness. Thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a new day, a day we've never seen before. So, Father, we're so blessed. We're so grateful. We're so thankful that you're in our lives, Father God. We thank you for doing everything you've done, everything you're going to do, and everything you're doing right now. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and just bless all those that are around us. Bless us and bless all of those that are around us, our family, our friends, our enemies too, Lord God. Just keep us in your keeping care, and we will be kept. Protect us and guide us and cover us and don't stop loving us. All these blessings and more I ask in the divine name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're still talking about Satan. And this is from chapter 24, where it talks about the activities of Satan. We're at section B on page 170. Satan, the adversary. As adversary, Satan accuses and opposes believers in various areas of their lives. First, he opposes our witness to the gospel. He does this by confusing us when he plants tares among the wheat, Matthew 13, verses 38 through 39, by snatching away the word that has been sown, Mark 4:15, by aligning governmental authorities against believers, 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18, or by imprisoning believers, believing this will keep their testimony from spreading or make them fearful of witnessing. Revelation 2, verse 10. I'm going to ask First Lady to get Matthew 13, 38 through 39. Evangelist to get Mark 4:15. And Evangelist 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18. And First Lady, Revelation 2 and 10. Amen?
Amen.
So the first one, we're talking about how he plants tares among the wheat.
Matthew 13, 38 and 39 reads, and the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, but the darnels are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sold them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are angels.
Amen, amen. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, it says he does this by confusing us with the plants, the tares among the wheat. So this just describes that, how that comes about, the tares and the wheat, the good seeds and the darnels, D-A-R-N-E-L, that's what it says in this Bible, are the sons of the evil one. Does yours say something else?
Matthew 13:38.
Yeah. Because I never saw that word, darnel, D-A-R-N-E-L. It represents the evil one.
Matthew 13:38. It says, later, a few religion scholars and Pharisees got to him. Teacher, we want to see your credentials. Give us some heart. I'm sorry, that's 12. Bible, it says, so he explained, the farmer who sows pure seed is the son of man. The field is the world. The pure seeds are subjects of the kingdom. The thistle, maybe that's the darnels you mentioned?
Yes.
Objects of the devil. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, the curtain of history. The harvest, hands are angels. Amen. So
right.
The thistle, darnels, from your Bible.
It's the darnels. And then in the New Living Translation, it says the weeds.
The weeds,
that
okay.
The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, wow. Amen. And so what Bible is that from? Did you see the darnels?
This is, let's see, what's the name of this? It's the LEB. What does LEB stand for? It is the Bible in this book.
Okay,
I don't know what the LEB stands for, but it's one of the Bibles on this thing.
Look at it later. It's okay. I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Right.
And Mark 4:15, where it talks about by snatching away the word that has been sown. Mark 4:15.
Okay. It's called the Lexham, L-E-X-H-A-M, English Bible. L-E-B.
Oh, that's a good one for me. Okay, thank you. The Lexham English Bible. Okay, all right.
Okay, Mark 4:15 says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away.
Mm. Thank you. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, that means they heard it, but they didn't really absorb it. And, you know, it's like it didn't get down into their spirit.
Even if it did get down in this, when the devil comes along with temptations or distress or trials or troubles, it leaves them.
Exactly.
They forget all about the word that they've heard. And so what is the word? Capital W-O-R-D. What is the word?
It's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You're close. That's part
of
it.
The word is the flesh. It's Jesus. I mean, if it's in capital, it represents Jesus.
They forget about Jesus. The word is Jesus.
Yes.
You know, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word is Jesus.
The word became flesh and walked among us, right?
Yeah. They forget about Jesus when they sit there in the sanctuary, wherever they hear the TV, radio, podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They forget about Jesus when hard times come. And so,
right.
But you know something? That kind of goes in the other direction, too. I'm not trying to contradict what the word is saying, but a lot of times when as believers, we go unbelievers, when we go through hard times, we're drawn closer to him. But that's not what they mean when they talk about the adversary. But I'm just saying,
when hard times come,
a lot of times, I'm thinking about the World Trade Center devastation. A lot of people who
came to Jesus. I remember my church was packed.
Yeah.
We had standing room only, and it wasn't Easter.
Or Mother's Day.
Oh, my God. I remember goodness gracious. Yeah.
Coming to Jesus. So I'm just saying, it's not, well, that was the adversary, actually, but I'm just saying it works in the reverse also. You know, you either forget about him or you include him even more in your life. Because you need them. I mean, what can you do without
you
them?
Do. You do. But those same people that drew closer and ran to the church at that time never came back. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Maybe not all of them didn't come back, but most of them, now that the time had went by, they just stopped. You know,
right.
And that's that other thing, too, is like the seed is sown. We get all emotional.
But they forget.
When they're in church. But as soon as they get outside, something happens.
They forget all about it.
Mm-hmm.
They forget all about it. Or it never really took root. They were just there.
Right.
You know, and it's comforting for that situation. But once they get out, some of them don't even really believe. You know?
Yeah.
They don't really take it deep down in their souls. And so, thank you. By aligning governmental authorities against believers. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. That's evangelist.
Okay. 1 Thessalonians what?
2:18.
1 Thessalonians 2:18.
Oh, who's that?
Thanks.
That's.
Is that? Hilda lost her voice or something.
Evangelist.
Yeah. Hilda lost her voice.
Yes.
No, I thought it was Hilda for a second. I know. Let Evangelist Hilda, Evangelist Coates read it, if you don't mind. That's a friend of mine, and I asked her to join.
Nice.
I didn't know that she was on.
Welcome. Okay, now what is it? 2:18.
1 Thessalonians 2:18.
Okay. 2:18 says, we wanted very much to come to you. And I... Paul tried again and again, but Satan prevented us.
Amen. Amen. So what do we know about that situation?
Well,
you know what this reminded me of?
What?
No.
Where it says by aligning governmental authorities against believers. You know, this reminds me of the whole civil rights movement.
Really?
Because government authorities back in the civil rights time, they you know, the government made law that the Jim Crow was law that black people couldn't go into white places. They would get so that's like, and then you know, so you have, you know, Christians specifically when we think about the civil rights movement, we think about Martin Luther King, and we think about the whole civil rights movement with prayer, how we sat in those sat in the restaurants where they wouldn't serve us, where we sat.
Right.
And these were government laws. I mean, we fought against, these were actual government laws that said that because you black, you can't sit in that restaurant. You know, so that was just only, that reminded me of Satan aligns with the government authorities against believers, and all of that entire civil rights movement. This is the first thing that came to my mind.
how it was against the law for a black person to go to a white school. It was law. These were laws.
Yeah, we know. We know. And it's still going on. Look at what's going on now, where they're trying to pass the critical race issues. You know, they don't want it taught in schools, and they're saying that it's going to make white children feel, you know, a certain kind of way. It's not about making them feel a certain kind of way. We've been feeling a certain kind of way for like over 400 years.
It's right.
You know,
it's about letting them know the truth.
For the truth to be told. They're hiding.
Right, the true history.
That they don't want them to know, that they don't want us to know as black people. They don't want us to know. Amen? So,
right. Amen.
And they tied it to the John Lewis voting rights bill, which is fine, but they're trying to fill it so that it doesn't go through. Again, governmental authorities.
Right.
Not only because, but, you know? Okay. And is he a part of this? Hello?
We're here.
Okay.
A pastor was saying something.
I know, that's what I was saying. Is he a part of us? Is he joining us or is he just... So, we're going to go on. That was 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18. I didn't forget about you, Sister Coates. We're going to get you at the next reading, okay? No problem. I want you to join us. Or by imprisoning believers, believing this will keep their testimony from spreading to make them fearful of witnessing. Revelation 2 and 10. First Lady?
Yes. Do not be afraid of those things which you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested, and you will experience affliction 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life.
Okay, so that's trying to say what? Not trying to, it just said it. What do you interpret that?
It's saying that, you know, just what that is, the devil will try to do anything to stop you from spreading the word. And sometimes, you know, particularly we're talking about prison, imprisoning, you know, people go into prison and they get fearful, they get afraid, you know, to speak the word of God. And but the Lord is saying, but continue, you know, to be faithful, you know, continue to be faithful until death. And you will, you know, because we will suffer. You're going to suffer by spreading the gospel, because that's what the devil is going
to
do. But continue to be faithful and spread it. Right. Because he just wants
to
prevent it.
Exactly. Do not be afraid of their faces. You know, they're going to look at you a certain kind of way and make you want to just be quiet and not talk about the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't witness about what the Lord has done for you. Amen. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And so why do you think that's so? Why don't they want to hear the goodness of the Lord and what he's done in your own life? Why do you think that?
Because these are people who the devil has already turned them away from the Lord.
Has turned them away?
They you know, have them. These are his little antichrists who don't want to hear it. His little antichrists.
Okay. Amen. Any other comments about that? And then we're going to go into the next paragraph. It's not so. Amen. Second, Satan spotlights our sins, 12 and 10. Evangelist Coates, if you can get that when I ask you for it, you can read it, okay? Revelation 12:10. Okay. Not yet, not until I request it. Just put the finger there. Okay. He accuses us before God when we sin, thinking he can cause us to lose our salvation. So we know Satan to be also known as the adversary and anything else?
The liar.
A liar. Anything else? Who?
The accuser.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. He accuses us before God when we sin, thinking he can cause us to lose our salvation. But Christ, our advocate, what is that?
One that stands before God and for us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. He's in our corner. He's for us. He speaks up for us. He takes out, he defends us. He takes our side. Takes our case and reminds the Father again and again that he, talking about Jesus, he paid for all our sins. When he, talking about Jesus, died on the cross, 1 John 2:1-2, I'm asking Evangelist Coates to get Revelation 12 and 10. And First Lady, get 1 John 2:1-2.
Okay.
12 and 10 first.
Can I start reading now?
Yes, ma'am, just 10.
Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. And it happened at last, the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser have been thrown down to the earth. The one who accuses our brothers and sisters before our God day and night.
Ooh, God. What does that mean to you?
It is saying that
the accuser has fallen down to earth, been thrown down to the earth.
Was thrown down to earth. You can go to Isaiah the 14th chapter to tell you about that.
Okay, so the accuser has cast the brethren down. Okay.
No,
we're not going to Isaiah right now. We're just going to stay with this for a second. Okay, so the power of his Christ for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. That's the devil, which accused them before our God day and night. So what does that mean to you again? Anybody?
The devil stands before God accusing us, accusing the brother and the sister.
All right. And so I just got not an epiphany, but I was speaking to my pastor and one of my pastors, and he was saying that day means good times and night. Not only mean night, but it means bad times. So then the accuser stands before God in good times and bad times, talking about us.
Look what he did to Job.
Yes, ma'am. What did he do to Job? What did he do to him?
When he told God, now, if you take a hedge from around Job, Job will curse you to his face. He was accusing. He was saying that this was Job would do, but Job didn't do it.
Did he know what he was talking about?
What do you mean? Did Satan know what he was talking about?
Right. Did Satan know what he was talking about when he said that's what Job would do?
No, he didn't know what he was talking about.
All right. Amen.
So it was him standing before God like he's accusing the brethren. It's the same way, but he's accusing the brethren and the sisters.
Yes, exactly. Amen.
And
we got
to
stand
strong. We need to stand strong like Job and know that.
Right. Exactly.
He's a kid. Even though he's accusing,
you know, we know that we got Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and Jesus will always be our advocate. Praise be to God.
Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to ask a question that I've asked before of the other ladies, and they can answer if they recall or if they know. Why was Job tested like that?
Why was Job tested like that? I don't understand the question, because Job was an honorable man. He loved the Lord. So I don't understand the question. Why did Satan test?
That's what I'm asking. Why was Job tested if he was an honorable man?
Because God told him to.
Okay, that's the upfront answer, but it goes deeper than that. Why was Job tested? Evangelist Hilda, what do you think?
I think because Job was, he was faithful to God because he knew that God would protect him no matter what, as long as he didn't give in to Satan.
Okay. I'm trying to find the answer, and of course I can't find it right fast, but I'll just tell you from what I recall. Excuse me?
Go ahead.
Thank you. So the reason that, from my understanding, that Job was tested is that he was fearful of those very things that transpired. Remember, he was steadily praying for his children and, you know, continually asking God to just cover them and keep them from all evil and all that kind of stuff. Amen? Mm-hmm. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" This is looking at chapter 1, verse 9 of Job. I didn't want to go that way, but Job was constantly asking God to cover him. All right, he was fearful of something, and the thing that he dreaded came to pass. Amen?
And I think the other thing, too, is that, you know, Job, one of the things that the devil thought that the only reason why Job was so faithful to God is because he had everything. You know, Job had everything. And so Satan says so Satan is like, "Well, he only loves you because, look, he's rich, he has this, he has that."
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens when you take all that stuff away. Let's see if he will still love you. And, you know, that's some of the things that we have to think about for ourselves, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's the whole thing when we were just reading how, you know, you sow the seeds and the seed is sown within you. When times are good and everything is going fine in your life, and then when trouble comes, you know, how close do you still stick to God? How close do you still remember that everything that you have is not yours? These are things
that
God gave you.
That
was like, you're right. I mean, that was like, he done got everything he needs. Why wouldn't he not love you so much?
Mm-hmm.
You know, take it away and see what he does.
Right.
Yeah.
And
can I read that for my version?
No, ma'am, because we want to. Oh, okay, read it. What you reading? Verse one, chapter 1, verse 9.
Yeah, but I'm gonna start at verse 8.
No, we. You listen.
Go ahead.
Go on.
Then the Lord asked Satan, from the New Living Translation.
Of Job?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and will have nothing to do with evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, Job fears God, but not without good reason. You have always protected him and his home and his property from harm. You have made him prosperous in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. He will surely curse you to your face. All right, you may test him, the Lord said to Satan. Do whatever you want. Everything he possesses, with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically. So,
thank you for that, expounding on that. All right. I still say, I think I want to do for homework, let's find out why he was tested. Amen? And you have to go to Job to find the answer. I just gave you the answer, but I want you to find it. All right?
I thought we just said why he was tested.
I'm giving you the assignment to find it in the word. Okay? Find it. Mm-hmm. This is for everybody. Everybody that's on the line right now?
Yeah. Let me write it down.
Okay. So, third. We didn't do. I'm going
to
start all over.
No, you have something for me to do. 2 John 1:1-2.
Hold on, madam. Can I facilitate this?
Yes, go right ahead.
Go ahead, Mom.
Thank you. All right, I'm rereading paragraph number 2. It says, second, Satan spotlights our sin, which was read, Revelation 12:10. He accuses us before God when we sin, thinking he can cause us to lose our salvation. But Christ, our advocate, takes our case and reminds the Father again and again that he, Jesus, paid for all our sins, and that he, Jesus, died on the cross. Now, 1 John 2:1-2, if you would.
I am writing to the chosen lady and to her children, whom I love in the truth, as does everyone else who, you said 1 John. Sorry. Yeah, no, that was 2 John. 1 John.
1-2.
1-2. Okay. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world.
Amen. So, what is a propitiation? Can you read 1 second? Can you read 2 again? Verse 2 again?
He himself. Yours
may say something different from mine.
Yeah,
yes,
so
ma'am.
It says he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only for our sins, but the sins of the world. That's the New Living Translation.
Okay. Thank you. And so what is another word for the sacrifice? He is the sacrifice of our sin, for our sins.
Propitiation.
Thank you. The King James says propitiation. So anyway, we had talked about that also before. So a propitiation is another word for a substitute. Amen?
Substitute, right.
He is a substitute for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So he died once because, again, they were sacrificing animals and slinging blood all over the Holy of Holies. And God said, enough of that. Enough of that. I'm going to do it one time. One time only. And this is going to cover you. This is going to substitute for your sins forever. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus Christ is the propitiation, the substitute, the sacrifice for us for eternity.
But what's the catch? What do you have to do in order to receive that?
Accept him as your Lord and Savior.
Accept him. Amen. Amen. Anything else?
Confess your sins.
Amen.
Believe in your heart.
There you go. You got to believe.
Well,
you got to believe. And that takes me back to Hebrews 11 and 6. Amen?
Yes, I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life.
That's not
confess
Hebrew.
Confess with your mouth and believe. No, I know, but it's confess your heart and believe. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen, amen. But 11 and 6 is one of my favorite scriptures. But without
mm-hmm.
faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So with this faith,
amen.
We have to believe in Jesus. We have to be, we can't, I mean, some people believe in Mary. Okay, they're Catholics and all of that, and that is Jesus' mother. But that's not how we get to heaven, believing in his mother.
That's right.
And I mean, you know, the Catholics put Mother Mary above Jesus. If you look in certain Catholic churches, what do they see?
The Mother Mary holding baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a big holding statue of
Jesus.
Mother Mary.
Mother Mary
and
a baby.
Yeah, and a little statue of Jesus. Yeah, and a little statue of Jesus. Yeah, and even if he's not a baby, he's grown, but he's small in comparison to Mother Mary because they worship her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They worship the creature rather than the creator.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And we'll talk about that, too. We talked about that, too. Amen. So third, next paragraph, Satan opposes the believer by bringing pressure on him that he may not be able to bear. There are two examples of this in the New Testament. One concerned the man disciplined in 1 Corinthians 5. We're not going to read the whole thing, but Evangelist Hilda, if you want to look at that, let's see what we can get out of that when I ask you. Apparently, the discipline had its desired effect, and he had confessed his sin of incest. Now, the church should have received him back into fellowship. Seemingly, some wanted to do this and some did not. So Paul urged them to do so, not only to heal any division that might develop, but also test the brother involved, lest the brother involved be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. He needed to know the forgiveness of his brothers and sisters, 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11. Lady Nadine, would you get that when I'm ready for it? Not to restore him would give Satan an advantage. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 5. I don't know how long it is, but maybe we'll read the whole thing.
It's
talking
short.
About this. It's short? Okay.
Okay.
How many verses?
I'm sorry?
How many verses?
How many verses is it?
13.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says, I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you, something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in your church is living in sin with his stepmother. You are so proud of yourselves, but you should be mourning in sorrow and shame, and you should remove this man from your fellowship. Even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in spirit, and as though I were there, I have already passed judgment on this man. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you must call a meeting of the church. I will present with you I will be present with you in spirit, and so will the power of our Lord Jesus. Then you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved on the day of the day the Lord returns. Your boasting about this is terrible. Don't you realize that this sin is like a little yeast that spread through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. Then you will be like a fresh batch of dough made without yeast, which is what you really are. Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. So let us celebrate the festival, not with the old bread of wickedness and evil, but with the new bread of sincerity and truth. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin, but I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols.
Stop. Read that again. That's verse 10, right?
Yes.
Read that again, please.
Okay. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that.
Wow.
11. I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer. You and yet indulge in sexual sin or is greedy or worship idols or is abusive or is a drunkard or cheat people. Don't even eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scripture says, you must remove the evil person from among you. Amen.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, wow.
Any thoughts about that?
Woo.
Well, I'm confused.
Things stand out. Yes, ma'am.
I am confused.
Wow. What?
I'm confused because that scripture seems like the opposite of what you just read
in the
book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm confused. I need some explanation because what we just read, what you just read said that,
I'll read
it
again.
Examples and go ahead.
Let me read it again. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Third, Satan opposes the believer by bringing pressure on him that he may not be able to bear. There are two examples of this in the New Testament. One concerned the man disciplined in 1 Corinthians 5. Apparently, the discipline had its desired effect, and he had confessed his sin of incest. Now the church should have received him back into fellowship. Seemingly, some wanted to do this and some did not. So Paul urged them to do so, not only to heal any division that might develop, but also lest the brother involved be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. He needed to know the forgiveness of his brothers and sisters, 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 11. Not to restore him would give Satan an advantage. What was
but
the
it
problem?
Seems like to me, Paul, because it seems like to me, Paul is saying,
get rid of this evil person. It doesn't seem like that scripture Paul is saying, you know, receive him back into the church. I didn't hear that in that reading at all. What I heard in the reading was, he's evil, get rid of him, and don't, you know, you have the right to judge people in the church. So if this person is evil, if this person is doing this, that, and the other, kick him out.
Okay. What do you say, Mother Holmes? Say that again?
That you must remove the evil person from among you.
Right, but like you're saying,
but that's,
it doesn't say that in the scripture that we, it doesn't say that Paul says we're going to accept him anyway because he's feeling sorrowful or feeling bad already and he can't bear that. But so that's not what the scripture says. And it also, I want to say that it says that God will judge. Where is that?
He will judge the unbelievers.
The God will judge the outside.
It says, but
with 10.
Them that are without, God judges. God judges.
Yeah,
not for the congregation to judge, but God will judge. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. As she's saying, First Lady is saying, Paul is saying, put him out of your presence.
Yeah.
Amen? Put him out of your presence.
Right. But wait a minute.
Go on.
For Second Corinthians 2:5-11 is, I just started reading it, so this
First Corinthians.
I know, but the next verses to read explains what I just found confusion.
Oh,
with.
Okay, all right, so let's get to it. Second Corinthians 2:5-11. Give
11.
Me a moment.
Okay.
Second Corinthians 2:5-11. Everyone has it?
Yeah.
Okay, go right ahead.
So it says,
I am not overstating.
Not you.
We asked First Lady. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement.
Okay.
So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. I wrote this to you as I did to test you to see if you would fully comply with my instructions. When you forgive this man, I forgive him too. And when I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Praise God. And you know what? This is why, you know, when I had taken I took a Bible study class, this is why the teacher stressed to read Paul's letters in full. Don't just read bits and pieces of the letters. Because see how we just went, well, how do you throw it? Because I've heard people do that. You know people do that. I mean, especially Jehovah's Witnesses now. They throw you out.
You said
period.
It. You said
and
it.
I know that's that verse that they probably justify themselves with. But if you read the entire, his whole letter, he wrote two letters. Right?
Yep.
Yes. Corinthians.
Yes.
We got this. You know, we got this forgiveness.
But so
be to God.
Thank you.
Yes.
So it's saying also that he was disciplined, and this man that committed incest with his
stepmother.
Okay. So he had sex with his he fornicated with his stepmother, committed adultery, and so he was disciplined, and it had its desired effect in that he felt really bad about it. But once we look at 2 Corinthians 2:5, it explains that they took him back. Amen. Mm-hmm. They felt sorry Amen. For him because he was feeling so sorrowful. So mm-hmm. it took another few chapters, but we see, like from 1 and 5, 1 Corinthians 5 to 2 Corinthians 2, 5 to 11, that they took him back because they did not want Satan's evil devices to reign, okay?
Yes.
This is 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, which has already been read. It says, lest Satan should have an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. What does that mean? Still talking about this man that committed incest. What does that mean? More than that, but still. Yes.
Think of his evil scheme. I got his evil schemes, and so he won't outsmart us.
And so with his wicked devices and his evil advantage, he's gonna try to take advantage of us.
Exactly.
Like I said, it's
the amount of racism coming at.
Huh?
I said that's where the systematic racism comes in, the systemic racism, and a whole lot of other things too. So if we don't get it together, this is what's transpiring, we're giving Satan the advantage.
But wait a minute, hold it. And we as believers already know. So unless we're going to be like the weed in the tares and we're going to hear the word and forget the word, or when we get in distressful situations, you know, we sat through the sermon and when we got up, we read it for ourselves. When we got up and got out, we were overwhelmed with the situation. Amen? That ought not to be. That ought not to be. Yes. Amen. So what did you want to add to the post? I'm sorry. Nothing?
No, that's all was said.
Okay, we got to go on because we got like a minute or two. Five minutes. Okay, so this is so hot. I mean, my God.
No.
Okay. I'm trying to get to the next chapter. But anyway, this is the next paragraph on page 171. We got two more paragraphs to read. Okay, the second example concerns women who are widowed at a young age, 1 Timothy 5, 14 through 15. Sister Coach, did you get that? When I asked for it, Paul urged them to marry again and bear children and lead useful lives. Some, idle and gossiping, were following Satan. You have that? 1 Timothy 5, 14 through 15, please.
1 Timothy 5, 14 through 15. Okay. So I advise that young widows to marry again, have children, and take care of their own home. Then the enemy will not be able to say anything against them. For I am afraid that some of them have already gone astray and now follow Satan. If a Christian woman has relatives who are widows, she must take care of them and not put the responsibility on the church. Then the church can care for the widows who are truly widows in need.
Amen. Amen. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, it's self-explanatory.
Okay. So, moving right along, last two paragraphs. In general, we may say that Satan, the adversary, wants passionately to squelch the believer's testimony. To accomplish this, he prowls the earth like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Evangelist Hilda, when I'm ready. 1 Peter 5 and 8. The word devour is the same word used to describe the way the Red Sea swallowed up the Egyptians when they were pursuing the Hebrews, Hebrews 11 and 29, First Lady. It paints a vivid picture of Satan's ultimate goal, to completely drown the believer's testimony and usefulness. Wow. 1 Peter 5:8, Evangelist Hilda.
Okay. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour.
Any thoughts about that, madam? I was still talking. You jumped right into it.
I'm sorry. You said, if you read 1 Peter 5:8, and that's what I did.
I said the second. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
What do you think about what you just read?
Well, that's what it says. We got to stay alert and be on our guard, because Satan, you know, he has his little imps out here, and they would devour you like, eek. The first mistake that you make, if you do anything that's wicked, he gonna pounce on you like a lion.
Okay. So does he cause you to do the wickedness, or you're tempted to do the wickedness, or it's your own evil mind? What causes that?
Temptation. I mean, you know, like if you're weak-minded, he can, urge you to do it, you know, in your mind, in your heart. You're like, wow, that looks so tempting. I think I should go after that. I'm putting it in my words. You know?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautifully said. All right. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to comment on that before we go to Hebrews 11 and 29? No? Okay. Hebrews 11 and 29. I want to say what?
Oh, my God. I was on mute the whole time. I was just
okay,
talking.
Okay. So
one
second.
One
second. Okay. You wanted to add something to that, 1 Peter 5 and 8?
Yes, I did. I was just saying that I agreed with Hilda. I mean, she put it good term, because today, I mean, you know, this week I've been really delving into Romans, and mm-hmm. one of the things is, you know, when you say, well, when you're tempted or whatever, is that, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we are literally born with a sinful nature. You know, it says so in Romans, we're born with a mm-hmm. sinful nature. So those mm-hmm. sinful thoughts that we have in our mind, we can't help it, because mm-hmm. you know, because of the fact that we have a sinful nature, and it's
we were born that way.
Jesus Christ, we were born mm-hmm. that way. Period.
Right.
So that's that whole debate that he goes to. When I want to do good, I do bad, and then when I don't want to do bad, I feel
right.
do good. But mm-hmm. now that we have Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have to call on the Holy Spirit to help us.
Absolutely.
You know, we got to be like,
thank you.
Help me, Lord.
Thank you.
Help me, Lord.
Help.
You know,
yes.
Otherwise, we would go that way. So that's
you will
we
succumb.
Born,
exactly.
So, but we're born
you
again.
Will
but being born
yeah.
again. We have mm-hmm. Christ we can call on now when those thoughts come into our heads.
Amen.
Yes.
And nobody ever said that you won't be having those thoughts or those desires or whatever,
right.
but you don't have to take
mm-hmm.
part in those thoughts. You don't have to succumb
right.
to that evil, that temptation, that, you know, that second piece of cake
Ooh.
Or whatever it is that's tempting you. You don't
Amen.
Have to go that way. Amen?
Right.
Because we
Amen.
Have Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jesus Christ, so please. Hebrews 11:29, First Lady.
Hebrews 11:29 says, it was by faith that the people of Israel went through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were drowned. And I think this is referring to what you just read about the word devour, you know.
Yes.
It means mm-hmm. to just be drowned by Satan.
Like the Red Sea swallowed up the Egyptians.
Like the Red
Sea.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Devoured. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Any thoughts on that? Anyone else? Beautifully expressed.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
No? Okay. It paints a vivid picture of Satan's ultimate goal to completely drown the believer's testimony and usefulness. Last paragraph of this chapter. And so next week, Lord willing, we'll go on to chapter 25. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, Satan may prefer to do some things over others, but he will do whatever he has to in order to promote his plans and programs successfully.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, too, that he is powerful. He mm-hmm. is experienced. And he has a host of demons to help him. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the believer can successfully fight him only in the strength and power of God who dwells within him.
Ooh.
Other aspects of the believer's defense will be discussed in another chapter. So how can
Yay.
We fight Satan's devices?
Mm. With this power and
strength. I want everybody to answer. Yes, ma'am.
God.
First lady first.
The
How
power.
Can we fight?
The power and strength of God through the Holy Spirit that dwells
within us.
Thank you. Ladies, I want you to remember that. Okay? When you're tempted by Satan's evil devices and you don't want him to devour you. And, you know, I know sometimes we get into a situation where it's like, well, I don't care. Let him devour me. I'm doing this. No. We don't want to go that way. We don't want to go that way. We know that's an adversary. That's our adversary telling us to do that. That's not the advocate. That's not Jesus telling us to do that.
Yeah.
Amen. So we want to do the right thing. We want to please God.
That's right.
We want to please God.
Amen.
And so we have to just rebuke the devil, you know, and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Rebuke him. Liar, you're the father of lies. We don't do that. That's not what I created.
Just like Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
And so we got to tell Satan, get thee behind me, because you
That's
are
what
not
you got to do. That's
yes.
what you got
Amen.
To do. Like, Peter thought he was doing the right thing. Oh, Jesus, you do that. Satan, get behind me. You wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, oh, God. This is a wonderful lesson. Like I said, God willing,
yes.
next week. Chapter 25, talking about Satan's world. And I hope you will join us next week, everybody that's on the line. I'm not calling no names, but I hope that everybody
I
will.
That book.
Hope everybody will join us next
book.
Week. You
oh,
want the book?
The book, the Riley Basic
yeah.
Theology book.
Yeah,
you want to write
a collector.
It down?
She's a collector of books, too.
The title is
The Basic. Go on.
Riley's.
That's not the title. That's
called. No, but it's called Ryrie's Basic Theology. That's the title.
No, oh, we just have Basic
Theology
by Charles C. Ryrie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
But give us the name.
Yeah. But it's you're right. It's Basic Theology.
Right.
By Charles C. Ryrie. R-Y-R. I.E.
Basic Theology. I'll get it from Barbara.
You get it from me? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Meaning the name and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we can get it all from Amazon.
Okay.
Or Barnes and Noble. But we'll talk. I'm glad you love it.
It's $60.
Is it $60? I don't know.
Well, that's what I got sitting next to it. Says book to look into, Basic Theology.
On the back of my book, it says $35.99.
Okay, then, so I must have the wrong price. setting up here.
Maybe so. But we'll talk. Amen. And I'm glad you kind of like it a lot. So I'm going to ask, who wants to take us out?
Okay, I will.
Nobody? I will. Okay.
Okay.
Precious and loving Father, thank you for all that was said this evening. Thank you for this beautiful lesson that our speaker gave to us this evening. We really, really dove deep into your word this evening on the devices of Satan. Thank you for opening up our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to perceive what thus says the Lord. We thank you for everything that was said. We thank you for our teacher. We thank you for our first lady. We even thank you for our visitor this evening, Lord God. We pray that everybody got something out of this lesson today.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for life. We thank you for strength and to help us always to be strong in you and to overcome the evil devices of Satan. Thank you, Lord God, for loving our sinners like us and giving us a right to eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Lord,
we ask all the blessings of everyone that's here tonight. Bless their homes. Bless those on Facebook, YouTube, wherever listen to this broadcast, Lord God. Bless each and every one. Heal those who need to be healed. Touch those who need a touching. And Lord God, continue to watch over us tonight as we lay down sleep in your name. Mm-hmm. And we ask all these blessings. And most of all, Lord God, I ask that you bless my pastor, strengthen him. Keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and dangers. Heal him where he needs to be healed. Touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God, and guide him in the way that you would have him to go, Lord God. Thank you for everything that's been said tonight and every night. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Oh, Sister Barbara, that was such an awesome.
Awesome,
such an awesome class, Sister Barbara.
You ladies made it outstanding. Oh, know that. Because of you ladies, you made it outstanding.
Oh,
you made
man.
It outstanding. I just thank you for that. To God be the glory. I just want to read the benediction.
I felt so fed. Yes. So fed today. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen, amen, and amen. Ladies,
amen.
I love you. Listeners, I love you.
Love you,
God, be glory.
Praise
God. Stay protected.
Yes.
Stay safe. Till the next time. Be blessed.
And
thank
you,
Mr. Coach.
What chapter in Job do you want us to read?
Chapter one.
No chapter.
I believe that's where.
The question is. Oh, okay.
No, tell it. Go on.
No, the question is, why was Job tested? And she said to get that information from the book of Job. So,
right, and I believe it's in the first chapter. Amen?
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Yes. I believe
that's
it's in the first chapter. So if it's not in the first chapter, it's in the second one, but it's not deep into it, okay?
Okay, that's
right,
why I didn't
want.
I would have had to read the whole entire book.
Because you'd have found it in the first chapter.
Yeah, but it gets so good,
you
don't want to stop.
I know. Don't stop. But that's the homework assignment. Find out why Job was tested.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Love you all.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Love you
guys.
Sister Cole, coming. I hope I see you. Sister Cole, you're going to be back next week, right?
Well, it so far it looks like it.
Oh, good. I'm going to keep you in prayer that God brings you back.
God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
Good night. Love you.
Okay.
Good, love.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.
It's my song. Here we go.
Belongs to you. I can't. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.